The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Okay, exhale. Feeling a lot better now, right? Can head into a five-day break with a victory under your belt. Feels a whole lot better today. Brewers win 9-3 emphatic fashion today over the Nationals. They salvage the finale. They don't get swept. They still have not lost four games in a row. And they will head into the break in first place, 55-42, 4.5 games clear of the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers knew they were going to be in first place regardless of what today's result was, and they got the best case scenario today. They win, Cardinals lose, it's 4.5. The Brewers, 29-17 at home in the first half, and I want to remind you too, they have a ton of home games coming up in the second half. You got a chance to see something special here coming up for the Brewers at the end of the season. I mean, I know they aren't back here for another 12 days, but then they get six games at home against the Marlins and the Braves, another six games on the road against the Nats and the Braves. Then they have their longest home stand of the year, 10 in a row at home against the Reds, the Dodgers, and the Guardians. And then they don't have another road trip that's longer than 6 days the rest of the year. They do have one more West Coast trip looming. That is San Francisco and Arizona, the second week of September. But they got a ton of home games remaining. And this division, shoot, it's going to come down maybe to the wire. But the Brewers have a say in that because on August 20th, I'm already circling it, that's the next time the Brewers meet the Cardinals. And that'll be in St. Louis, a midweek three-game set. St. Louis for three. Night game, day game. The Brewers are 6-1 right now against the Cardinals. They only need to win one more of the remaining six games to claim the season series, which essentially means if they're up four games, they're really up five games because a tie would go to the Brewers owning the season series. So those are just a couple of things to monitor as we head into the break. Craig Kishon's going to join us a little bit later on in the show. We're going to have a little bit longer than usual show today here. Just kind of talking a little bit about the first half, impressions, really, really big contributions from a number of guys. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. But here at the top of the show, let's just go down the box score here real quick because 9 runs, 12 hits for the Brewers. They also drew 7 walks. They struck out 10 times, which is a little more closer toward their season average. Willy Adames is the story today offensively. 4-for-4. He was not retired. He also had a walk and a home run. Furthermore, home run for William Contreras. Home run for Garrett Mitchell. Maybe a few more curls in the weight room, and Sal Frelick would have had a home run as well. He gets a couple of hits. The Brewers had a great day offensively as they enter the break with one of the best offenses in baseball. Do not lose sight of that. As a club, I know the offense went into a rut over these last 10 games, only winning 3 of their last 10. But you look at it in the National League only, the Brewers, as a team, are hitting .255. That's third best. Their on-base percentage, .333. Second best. Their slugging's a little lower than you'd expect, especially what we saw earlier in the season at .400. But yet, they're in third place for the third best record in baseball. In fact, they're just one back of the Dodgers once again for that second seed, which, quite frankly, if I'm the Brewers, I would love to have that extra buy, that extra breather, if you can find a way to win your division and be the second seed. And the Dodgers are going through it right now. They just had a rough week against the Tigers. They lost on a walk-off bunt today. If you haven't seen it, go look how the Yankees lost today. A botched error on what should have been an inning-ending or a game-ending ground out to Anthony Volpe, who won the Gold Glove last week. And then Verdugo just completely missed playing ball and left. The Phillies got beat in a series by the Oakland A's. They got beat 18-3 today. So, I mean, like, what the Brewers went through this last 10 days is far from out of the ordinary. Like, good teams hit a wall this time of the year. It happens to every team. And just to have one win under your belt to understand, okay, this is a fluke, be okay, get to the break. That's what this week was about. And the best part is you've got reinforcements on the way. Devin Williams, he pitched up the road in Appleton today. Oh, man, was that good or what? The Brewers getting their closer back here soon. The starting rotation getting reinforcements with Joe Ross and with DL Hall. But the Brewers, they're exceeding expectations, to say least. This has been incredible. They were given a 30% chance to win the division, according to FanGraphs model on opening day. Well, now they're at 78%. 4.5 games up. And despite this cold stretch, they are still one of the five best teams in the National League, and maybe even in baseball. Maybe they're number top seven. I mean, this is a really good team, and they're going to get better when DL, when Ross, when Devin, when Koenig all return. This is, now that we're getting to the All-Star break, it matters now. I'm not trying to say the games earlier didn't matter, but you're going to be scoreboard watching the rest of the year. You're 97 games in, so you've only got 55 left. You're officially downhill. And then the dog days are August. The dog days, like you thought this week was hard. The dog days are August, mid-August. It's hot everywhere you go. You're just grinding to finally get that September push. Like, you can see the finish line in sight. So there's one more big lull that is facing the Brewers. But you're seeing this team learn on the fly, face adversity, and figure it out. If it was that easy, everybody would do it. The Brewers found a way today. It's a 2-4 homestand, I know. But they kept it together, and they still lead heading into the break. Take a breather. Come back with more. Craig's joining a little bit later, but first, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Back after this on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Of course, I stink at math. 65 games remaining. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon joining us in just a moment. Brewers win 9-3 over the Nats. They salvage the finale. A couple of texts that have rolled in here. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Tom from South Dakota. Today's game did feel important. And after that win today, no four-game skids in the first half. So many positives. Murphy's mashers, indeed. And the tip of the cap to the Crew's defense as well. Good call there, Tom. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. Certainly frustrating homestand, but win today to avoid being swept is nice. Looking ahead, I prefer we trade none of our young outfield depth, considering the arms we'll get back after the break. I know a lot of people are frustrated when you don't have to go after big names, but we're in a sweet spot with the young core that could benefit the team for years to come. This one from Tom in Pewaukee. 4.5 game lead in the Central, 1 game back of the 2 seed. Not bad for a team that Vegas had at 76 wins. Yeah, look, this is not gambling advice. But Vegas hasn't been watching the Brewers over the last few years. That's all I'm going to say. Aaron in Illinois. Wasn't exactly a great series, but we can at least head into the break on a positive note. Adames is obviously player of the game. The Terang, the double by Ortiz is the difference-making moment. Do you think he had a first baseman at the deadline? They're both hitting 215. No, there's no chance the Brewers had a first baseman at the deadline unless somebody gets hurt. Any insight on the players returning? DL Hall, Joe Ross, Jared Koenig, Devin Williams, Enoli Paredes, Gary. Have a great break. So let's start with those guys. DL Hall. DL Hall is going to make probably one more outing in AAA Nashville. Matt Arnold informed us today. He still has some swelling in his forearm when he got hit by that comebacker, so he's waiting for that to subside before he resumes his throwing program. But yes, he only needs one more outing for him to return to the big leagues in the eyes of the Brewers. Joe Ross will start on Friday in Nashville, and if that goes well, there's an opportunity for his one to follow that to be in the big leagues. So maybe one more, likely two more for Joe Ross down in the minor leagues. He's been stretching out very quickly and on a very good note for him. Jared Koenig is also going to throw for the next Friday against Nash, as he's going to be on his way back. He threw a bullpen a couple of times. His homestand has had no symptoms since that forearm tightness. The MRI was clean, nothing out of the ordinary, so he could be back sooner as opposed to later as well. Devin mentioned it, one inning, three strikeouts against High A. I imagine he'll be in AAA Nashville here pretty soon as well. The Brewers, you know, maybe traditionally you would think like 7 to 8 outings for a guy like Devin in spring training, but they may rush him back to be more like a 3 or 4 or even 5 are certainly on the table for Devin to get back sooner than you anticipate. But quite frankly, this is me predicting things, and I don't like to predict all the time. I would not be surprised if Devin Williams is activated the next time the Brewers are at home in 12 days. I'm just putting it out there. I would not be surprised. Given what we saw today in high A up in Appleton, that would be some great news in that regard. Another text here, this one from Doug. I guess Willie wanted to prove he's an all-star today. He did that, and he is on his way to 100 ribbies. That is an all-star. Not just that, but he has been fantastic, to say the least, and the Terang slight still annoys me, but it is what it is. This one from Chef Ed. Nice win. Unfortunately, the break's coming at a bad time for Adamas. He is on fire. And I want to talk more about Willie with Craig once he joins us here on the show, but let me just give you his line here at the end of the first half, and we'll talk about some of the performances that we've seen from the Brewers in the first half. This will be more of a first half show than it is about the, you know, the game itself, the Brewers winning 9-3 today. But Willie Adamas, above league average for batting average at .246. He leads the team in walks, which I don't think anybody saw coming into the year. He's got a .330 on-base percentage, a .430 slugging, a .760 OPS. That's 60 points better or so than league average. 15 homers. That leads the team, one ahead of Rhys Hoskins. 23 doubles. That's tied for the team lead with William Contreras. He has been an all-around player. Also, 91 hits is the third most on the team, only trailing Bryce Terang and William Contreras. Willie, as we know, the Brewers go as he goes. He has been arguably the most important player on the Brewers all season long. He is going to keep the job moving forward for the crew. Another guy that just need a shout out, Garrett Mitchell. A reminder that the dude essentially had to have 2 spring trainings. Okay, he goes 1 for 3 with a walk and the home run. He also wanted to steal a base today, finally got one of those. He's still getting his feet underneath him to try to get things going and feel like he's restarted. And he had such a great spring training, you felt like it was going to be a big year for him. And the Brewers finally feel like, offensively, they're at full strength. And Craig Kishon is joining us now. Craig, offense, 9 runs. I know they have been in a rut the last few days, but this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Brewers. To, yes, Willie really led the charge, but this was a pretty balanced attack from the Brewers, kind of exactly how you would draw it up.
Yeah, for sure, and how you really wanted to see it and what this team is capable of doing, too. So great way to go out. I mean, all the way around, Dom. Just, you know, the offense just setting the tone early in this game. And then kind of, you know, you look at a game like this, too, and when you have your opener and then you have your bulk pitcher come in, you really obviously don't do that very often, but when it works out like it generally has been this season for Milwaukee, you just feel really good about how they're game planning. And yes, the offense is not going to be able to sustain, you know, incredibly high success all the time, but you know, a great way, I think, to bounce back from a really, really tough loss yesterday. I mean, that was just a kind of a kick in the teeth loss. And they came right back today and won. And again, they're, what, one of 3 teams that don't have a losing streak anymore of 3 games. And this is how you stay in first place by their 4.5 game lead right now.
This has been great. Willie Adamas, the story, talked about him a little bit today. He's dominating the player of the game poll right now over on my Twitter at Dom_Cotronio. 4 for 4, his 8th career multi-hit game. They've all been as a Brewer. And for Willie, the home run was just the icing on the cake. It was already a great day for him. But to see him get it into gear and to get him rolling like the Brewers know he is capable of certainly starts to get you to get a little excited here, because he had that tough stretch there at the mid to end of June, and now you hope this 5 days off, hit the reset button, and he can take off getting into another pennant race.
Yeah, and you know, I love the way he just started out the scoring today in that first inning with the RBI double. Just kind of set the tone for, you know, where this offense should be going and who's driving it. You know, one of those pillars that Murph always talks about too. And for Willie, just to, you know, yeah, he's streaky at times, but I think the good thing about this, just to go into break feeling as good as he is, and just be able to hit you know, the reset button on top of that, the potential for him to come out, you know, next weekend and continue to do this is huge. And I think we're slowly starting to see some other guys getting their opportunities. But, you know, it still starts with Willie, no matter what anybody says. And it's he's just been, you know, a joy to follow in his career. Like you said, all those big games that he's had, he's in his career, he's done it in a Brewery uniform.
And furthermore, this is not easy to do in today's game, but start and play in all 97 games of a first half.
Yeah.
I mean, that is so underappreciated, underrated, because, yes, I knew a lot of guys used to do it, but at the same time, not many guys do it anymore. I think of Matt Olson. I think of Marcus Semien. I think of, for a while, Whit Merrifield. Willy Adames being able to play every day. I mean, you look at his whole Brewers career, this has been his MO. He does not miss games, and it tends to pay off like it did today.
Well, and the thing I like about it, too, that you know, he wants to do it, and he's been healthy enough to do it. And I don't care if you don't play every day in this game. Everyone's going to go through some slumps no matter what. And you weather the storm by playing your position at a high level. And he's always continued, you know, and he continues to do that, I guess, is my point. And the thing about it is, Dom, you know this, and I know a lot of the Brewer fans who follow this. This team defensively is much better off with Willy Adames playing every single game that he can in that position. And if he's healthy, not taking a break, because there's really no reason to. Nobody enjoys playing that position more than Willie does. And like I said, this team, I know Bryce Turan can go over there, you know, Joey Ortiz could go over there, all that. But you don't want a could be. You want the guy who owns that position, and he owns it for the Brewers right now.
And furthermore, Willie's a guy that is actually looking at his career splits a lot better in the second half compared to the first half. And you look at what he's able to do in August. In fact, August by the splits is his career best month. He's got a career 830 OPS in the month of August. More homers in August than any other month. So that certainly gets you excited of what he is capable of. And then you remember, I mean, like, you look around finally with Garrett Mitchell back, and it's always a good thing to have too many players, if you will, when you think about trying to fit the outfield picture. But Garrett hitting a homer today. Ortiz being back healthy after being activated off the IL. Frelick swinging exactly how you pictured Sal Frelick to Frank. Yelich with a double. I know Reese had the day off today, but it's just like, okay. Finally here in July, heading into the All-Star break, the Brewers have the personnel they thought they were going to have coming out of spring training. That should excite people.
Yeah, I agree. That's a really good point, especially, you know, with Mitchell. He got on base, you know, twice here in this game, but the home run, there's just something, you know, he came into this game batting 174. I mean, he is, I don't know if it's just struggling offensively or just because he hasn't played yet this season and he's been hurt so much in his young career, you know, where a player is like that mentally. But to be able to hit that home run today, hit it, you know, you get some power in that bat, not just infield singles and bloop singles and opposite way singles, get it going. And hopefully, you know, that is a really good, strong sign for this kid, because we talked about it the other night. He's going to get, and he needs reps if they're going to count on him. That's for sure.
This is something that the Brewers are picturing themselves as, okay, you've got a mix of everything. I was talking about this with an unnamed member of the media earlier today and was complaining about maybe that there's not enough power in this lineup. Like, wait a minute, time out. You think there's not enough power in this lineup? You just think it just hasn't arrived yet like we thought it would, like it was in late April and into May it was, right? You know William's going to break out of this funk. He hit a home run today on a breaking ball. Good sign. Willie hits a homer today. You know he's going to continue to get hot. Reese has not played up to his standard. You know he is due for a hot streak at some point. Yelly looks healthy. You've still got guys on this team that can go yard at any time. Ortiz can go yard at any time. Mitchell can go yard at any time. That may not be their game, but all of a sudden you blink and you've got 2, 3, 4 hitters that say, yeah, they are power threats, in addition to pests like Terang, pests like Ortiz, who doesn't swing out of the zone, Frelick, who can hit any ball that he wants, doesn't matter if it's near the strike zone, if it's up, down, away, he will just put the ball in play. That is a scary, scary lineup to face when every game matters in the second half.
Well, and the thing that I like about it, you know, up and down this lineup, and if you're on the bench today, the thing that I like most about this is these guys don't particularly care about hitting home runs, and to me, that's the best part. They all play within themselves. They all know their roles. I'm a big believer in any athlete in any sport on these, you know, elite teams you're playing professionally to know your role. I get it. You want to do potentially a little bit more to, you know, pad stats, maybe get some money down the road, that type of thing. I don't see that so much with these guys here. And I think, in all honesty, that has a lot to do with why they're incredibly team oriented, that can overcome all of the injuries so far that we've seen, and handle, you know, playing two or three games in a row and then having to come off the bench two or three games in a row. The whole scenario, by definition, I just think that each one of these guys knows their role, and they'll hit for power when they need to hit for power, and when they don't, they figure out other ways to get it done. And still it's all about putting pressure on pitching and defense. So they do a great job of it.
They've been really fun. I want to get to the phone lines real quick before we get to break. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Andrew down in Janesville, you're live. You're on Brewers Extra Innings.
Yeah, I was thinking back to spring training when there was quite a bit of talk about possibly trading Adames. At the same time, there was talk about trading Corbin Burns. And I'm not saying I'd necessarily personally support it, but I just wonder about a trade here before the deadline.
We're not doing it, Andrew. We're not doing it, buddy. I'm not getting mad. I promise. I'm laughing. This happened the last time Willie had a great game, Craig, and the first call was about, do we trade Will? No. If they trade Willie Adames, I'll be flabbergasted. And I think the Brewers, I think, you know what, I know the Brewers have learned their lesson of what went down with Josh Hader in 22. Craig, I know you're with me here. If the Brewers trade Willie Adames, this would be, you know, DEFCON 1. This would be insane.
We can't even be talking about this. We need to edit this off here if this winds up on your podcast, Dom. We just can't let this go on. This is not going to happen. However, if you just extend this talk further about potentially making a trade here in the next couple of weeks before the end of the month, before the trade deadline, and look, this club, you know, Matt Arnold knows the trade's got to be a smart one. There's no reason to take risk here when this team is sitting the way it is and is playing as well as it is in this division. You definitely have to always continue to look at how to improve the team, but there's zero reason at this point of where this team is this season to do anything to try to improve your team for the future. It's about now. So any acquisitions would be to specifically improve this year's team and not take away with it. It's all about plus, not minus right now.
I agree entirely. Sorry to pick on you there, Andrew, but I think you understand why everybody is sick of hearing about, oh, do you trade Willie? Do you trade? No, at this point, with 65 games to go, you're not going to get a good enough prospect back. You're in the hunt. You need Willie. Let it ride. That's okay. Let's talk a little bit more about the first half. Brewers win 9-3 today over the Nats. Great day. Colin Ray was fantastic. Want to talk about him a little bit, too. Craig Kishon stays with us on WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
We're back. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon's here as well. End of the first half edition for the Brew Crew. 9-3 win over the Nats. Let's talk a little bit, though, about Colin Ray today before we get lost in talking about the first half, because Colin Ray was the bulk man today. He gave up a couple of runs, no big deal. It was a slow start for him coming out of the blocks, but 5 2/3, nearly a quality start, if you will, despite the opener getting 4 outs. 5 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. Oh, ho-hum, Colin Ray has a sub-4 ERA in 19 appearances, 105 innings. He's going to blow past his career high of 125 innings from a season ago. He has been one of the more reliable starters for the Brewers this year. It doesn't create headlines. It's not the sexiest thing in the world. But gosh darn it, Colin Ray, you've had yourself a great first half.
Well, I'll tell you what, his record's pretty sexy to me. He's at 9-3 with a 3.77, leads the team in wins. And the great part is the team's 12-5 in his games. And so at least I may be wrong on that, but an amazing record, Dom, when he's out there. So it just goes to show you, you know, you don't have to be the Cy guy to go out there. You can be anybody else related to Cy. And I think Colin Ray has proven since last season that he's got some relation somehow, because, you know, this guy can win when he's out there, and he can pitch when he's out there in tough moments. And he weathers, you know, little mini storms, like you said, gave up a couple of runs in his bulk work today. But I mean, pitchers are going to give up two or three runs a game, and it's nearly a quality start for him, you know, 5 2/3 innings as well. So I like the guy. He's in control. He stays within himself. And so he has been, you know, their MVP starting pitcher for sure right now.
I think with Colin Ray, I mean, he got 7 strikeouts today, which is not normally his MO. But at the same time, when the strikeouts are around, that's like, oh, okay, the stuff's dancing like it's supposed to and keeping guys off balance and that sort of thing. But Colin Ray is somebody that, give me the six innings, I got you, no big deal. Last year he was really not allowed to face a lineup a third time through. He has been handling it very well so far this season. I wonder if the Brewers are going to start him on Saturday coming out of the break. I bet he gets one of the starts against the Twins Saturday or Sunday, given they have not announced it yet, and maybe they push Freddie to against the Cubs or whatever they want to do with that. But Colin Ray, quite frankly, I mean, I know Freddie was the opening day starter, and there's still a whole half of the season to play, but Colin Ray is getting some serious consideration and maybe be like, hey, you might be the number one guy here pretty soon if he just continues to be consistent. And to finish your thought, they're 13-6 now in games that Colin Ray pitches in.
Even one more win. I like that for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, look, this is a guy that is going to get out there and get it done from the get-go. So when you talk about, you know, opening second halves of the season, a big series against, you know, big matchups, that type of thing, second half the rest of the way, there is zero reason to second guess why you would want to use him right out of the gates to get you that first win, because he's gonna pitch like a champion. And right now it's been quite a development to see from last year. I think the point that you bring up about not being able to face batters third time through the order a year ago, and now it's almost like, what? That's impossible. Like, if you're just getting to know him now and seeing his stuff and seeing the results, almost hard to believe. But it was a learning process, and it's part of him fitting into the system. And he's just done a tremendous job. And the, you know, this staff has done a tremendous job working with him and putting him in this situation.
When you look at this Brewers pitching staff and everything they've weathered, and I'm not trying to sit here and say the Brewers are the only team that's weathered injuries to this point in the season, but their opening day guy, Freddie Peralta, let's say it, has underperformed. Jacob Junis had barely pitched at all in the first half. He just returned in the last couple of weeks. Joe Ross has missed more than 60 days now due to a bad back. D.L. Hall had a knee, then he's had this rehab assignment from you know where, and it's been brutal for him. He won't return until the end of July. Then you still have, you know, Devin Williams, who hasn't thrown a pitch yet for the Brewers this season. You've had so many different ways to figure things out, and to have a little bit of stability from Colin Ray, but just overall, this pitching staff has certainly overperformed, and they're finally getting reinforcements on the way, as indicated by the Dallas Keuchel DFA today. They feel that Joe Ross is close, D.L. Hall is close, maybe Devin by the end of the month as well, that they feel their internal candidates are going to help them moving forward.
Yeah, and Jarred Canning as well is also close. So, I mean, just those four guys that are out right now that are, you know, on the cusp of returning, and this club is only going to be better because of it. And I think, too, you know, in the meantime, you know, you're seeing guys step up a little bit here. Yoel Piamps had a really good ninth inning today to finish this game. No issues, no guys on, not messing around with, a nice big six-run lead. Let's get her done and close the door. That's what we need more of, obviously, from him. Hobie Milner's kind of struggled recently here. So you don't want to feel the pressure, but I guess my point in the bullpen here right now, just knowing there's guys out there ready to come back, especially, Devin Williams and Jared Koenig here at this time, and we don't know where D.L. Hall's going to end up. Just that competition ramping up this time of year, moving into, the end of July into August, it's got to be only beneficial here for this point. Who's going to be, have the strong will to survive and pitch well, out of this bullpen? Who's going to slide in and help out in the starting rotation? This go check time now coming up after the All-Star break. It's pretty exciting to see that this team's actually in position to strengthen itself within its own system.
This is a team that's built to lean on its bullpen, and the bullpen's going to get a little bit of help here coming up. Text here came in from Mike in Colorado. Love Colin Ray. What's Colin Ray's contract status after this year? I believe it is a team option for next season. So I imagine he would be back if so chose by the Brewers in something that they can look at. All right, up next in our segment, though, we'll have one more with Craig Kishon. We're just going to take a deeper dive into the first half, some underrated players, players that are going to impact the second half, and performances we really want to point out here. So Brewers get the win today, 9-3 over the Nats. Fun day at the ballpark, wrapping up the first half show, going for a little bit longer here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio and Craig Kishon here. Going a little while longer here on WTMJ. Brewers get a fun win, 9-3 over the Nats. But now let's look back here, Craig. The Brewers in first place by 4.5 games. They're at 55-42. 65 games remaining on the season. Craig, let's just go like the traditional awards here for what you would see at the end of the season, but with the first half. Let's go ahead and just make the call here. Who is your first half MVP for the Brewers?
Are we going pitching and combo with position players, or how do you want
You can
this?
Pick whoever you want. We're going to have a Cy Young Award, too, but you can pick whoever you want.
So what's the first one again?
Let's MVP? Do MVP to start.
Boy, let's see here. It's hard for me not to look past Christian Yelich, that's for sure, just because he was out for that extended period of time and just what his overall presence really means and the fact that he is really going to vie for another batting championship here right now. And if he does that, this team will finish in first place.
I agree with that entirely. I was just going to pick whoever you didn't pick. If you pick Christian Yelich, I was going to pick William Contreras. If you pick William Contreras, I was going to pick Christian Yelich. So it's a no-brainer. I think it's a win-win whoever you pick when it comes to those two guys. I'll just make the case for William real quick. I know sometimes it's a little stubborn, the fact that he's only had 4 off days here in the first half. William has 93 games, all of them starts. I imagine he will have more than 4 off days here coming down the stretch because they need to make sure he is healthy. I mean, he took a jammed foul ball off his finger today and he hit a home run, which is all fine and dandy. But the fact is, William tied for the team lead in doubles. He's got 11 home runs now. He's got a .352 on base, which is actually the second best on the team. As your primary catcher, as your two-hitter every day, that's freakish stuff to have that sort of drive and mentality to do that. I know the home run pace has slowed down a little bit, but even if he puts together like a 40-20 season as an everyday catcher, holy cow, is that super valuable. I mean, it is something that is rarefied air when you see a catcher play 140-ish games, which is insane to think about, but he's certainly got that capability. William, you picked Yelly. I'll just for the sake of the content, I'll say William is my first half MVP.
I like it. And here's the thing that I love the most about William. I mean, I'm going to say this. He's still got stuff to learn. He still can be a better hitter. He can do more behind the plate. He's not been in the league that long, and he's going to be a two-time All-Star starter first behind the plate. But, I mean, there's still, to me, the ceiling is high for William Contreras, and that's what we're seeing now is tremendous. But I think there's far more in his tank.
I agree. Now let's go to Cy Young here. I'm going to take the first pick on this one.
All right.
The first half Cy Young, for me, I'm actually going with the Raleigh Fingers route. I'm giving it to Brian Hudson because he has been so important out of nowhere for the Brewers here. I mean, they saw him as depth coming out of spring training, and, you know, he's optionable, big, tall, lanky lefty. Then he started to realize, he started to sit down and watch him, and he's like, ooh, no one's seeing it. Wait, what's, wow. 33 appearances, 48 innings out of the bullpen, which is an insane number out of the pen. I mean, think of it this way. He has thrown the most innings out of the bullpen, obviously, 48 innings. Tobias Myers, as a starter, has thrown 72. I mean, he is near there amongst guys who's only spent half the season with the crew. 11 holds, that's tied for the team lead. Of course, the ERA under 1.5. I know he hit a little speed bump lately. A 146 average against an 0.74 whip. Brian Hudson's my first half Cy Young.
I like it, and I'm going with a member of the bullpen that currently is not pitching for this team because he's hurting on his way back. I'm going with Jared Koenig. I think that the lack of his presence because of his injury has affected this bullpen, which may surprise some people, but that was my fear when he went down, especially not knowing how long he was going to be out. But the bottom line, going on the injured list for at least 15 days as a pitcher, I knew they'd weather the storm over the first few games without him there. But to me, his value, once they got used to him not being there and other guys playing maybe some different roles or missing him being the versatile opener or maybe a closer in some games, he's done everything for this team. And to me, just his value, you know, left-handed pitcher, you name it. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, Dom, but I'm going with him because I think outside of Devin Williams here right now due to injury, and they've overcome that injury pretty well. You got to give him a lot of credit for that, but this guy's had something to do with that too.
Yeah, I agree. I love that Jared Koenig pick. Another guy that came out of nowhere who's got options. Bay Area guy, South Bay guy. Really, really cool stuff, the story from Jared Koenig, who has been literally all around the world pitching the pill. Let's go rookie of the year. This can be on offense or on the pitching side of things. Who is your quote-unquote rookie of the year for this first half for the Brewers?
I think I got to go with Joey Ortiz. Never expected him to just basically start over at third, and you know he was platooned a little bit out of the gates. But man, once pretty much he started playing, and it was like we need to have this guy over there every day. I mean, his defense is a blast to watch. I mean, what a game he put on yesterday over at third. And offensively, he's really stepped up as well and been consistent. I mean, you need, if you're going to be a rookie in this league and be good, you got to show that you can play every day. And yes, he was injured, but guess what? When he was injured, the team didn't get much production at all over at third base with the guys that were over there. You know, too bad that didn't happen. But since he's come back, I mean, he showed this team how valuable he is, so I'm going to give it to Joey.
I love the Joey Ortiz call. Another easy one there, quite frankly, to make that call. I think a lot of folks would have expected it to be Jackson Churio at this point in the year, and I don't want to ignore Jackson's first half, being right about a league average player at 20 years old with 9 homers, 12 doubles, 10 steals. I mean, he certainly could have a 20-double, 20-homer, 20-stolen-base year. Now, he's going to have some serious production in the second half to do so, but at 20 years old, he's certainly a candidate for that. I guess by my logic with the Cy Young, it would have to be Brian Hudson, but I wanted to give some love to Tobias Myers, and maybe he's my unsung hero, but Tobias Myers, for me, especially what he's done over the last 7 starts, filling in, being a pro. I had him on the pregame show today. Just a really refreshing guy to talk to about his journey and what he's been able to do and trust his stuff. He's not a guy that is going to pop off the page. He's never been a top 30 prospect sort of guy. He's never had that pub or that hype around him. But man, the dude can pitch. The dude's got some tools, and he's still getting better like you're talking about with William Contreras. I think Tobias Myers deserves a lot of flowers for being coachable, for understanding what makes his stuff work, and having the mentality to be successful in the big leagues.
Good call there. As solid as it gets, and another great storyline. This book that's being written here this season for this team has not only great stories, has great chapters, and what he's done. And again, you mentioned it after I was talking about Jarrod Koenig, the journey that these guys, some of these guys, have gone through to get here, and to play at a high level, the first time they've actually been, you know, really successful in the majors and have been given a chance. That's definitely a great call.
All right, I got two more for you here, Craig. This next one, I kind of alluded to it, Unsung Hero Award. There'll be a real one at the end of the year, too, as voted on by the Brewers media press. But do you have an unsung hero of the first half for the Crew?
Well, his numbers are unbelievable. His season has been a tremendous turnaround from his rookie year, and I hope I don't surprise anybody by saying this, but I'm going with Bryce Turang as the unsung hero, because he is clearly an all-star, not just for this team, but in the league at his position over at second base, for how he plays and fields that position and his offense. And he got his 30th stolen base today. And the guy's not getting any flowers. It's like nobody even knows he's over there. I know Brewer fans know he's there, but this guy doesn't have much to say. He doesn't brag, and I mean that in a positive way. All of that. He goes about his business, and he's taken over the leadoff role for Milwaukee. He's the guy that gets things started. He wants to do it. He's the guy out at second base that won't let anything get past him, and he wants to be there every day too. So 92 games played for Bryce Turang in 97 here so far. Who doesn't love this guy?
Yeah, I agree. 2.4 F-WAR so far in the season. That's fifth best among all second basemen of the game. B-WAR loves him a little bit more. Baseball Reference WAR. He's one of the top 10 among all position players at this point in the year at 4.1. They have a different weighting on their defense versus Fangraphs does. But even yet, the defense has been phenomenal. I love the Bryce Turang pick. He has been unsung. He deserves to be an all-star. He will get it one day, and he is certainly a guy that was really kind of looking forward to this all-star break because he might have needed it here at the end. His average has fallen down to below 280. He got a hit today, which certainly made him feel great, but 30 stolen bases, man. 30 in the first half. Like, man, I say it all the time, the quantum leap. Pat Murphy, I'll give him all the kudos on this. He called his shot, and then Turang backed him up on that. This has been incredible for him, to say the least. I'm going to go a little different direction, staying on the position side for my unsung hero, and it's Blake Perkins. Blake Perkins, you're looking at this depth chart coming out of spring training before Garrett Mitchell got hurt, and you're thinking, how are they going to carry Blake? I know they loved his defense. He was kind of up and down a couple of times last year, and then boom, last day of spring training, Garrett Mitchell breaks his finger. Perkins clearly has a spot on this roster now. And then at one point, when Yelich goes down, Perkins starts playing literally every day for the Brewers. That is something he has never done in the big leagues. There were moments where he was ice cold. There was moments where he was white hot. But all the while, he was delivering the best center field defense in the National League. Blake Perkins is my unsung hero of the first half.
Yeah, and he's got more saves, if you will, with his defense at the wall than a lot of pitchers across baseball here right now. Love the pick. He would have been right there with me as well. I think if Turang would have actually made the All-Star team, which he should have, again, I'll just keep saying that. I would have picked Blake for sure. I mean, it's the dude just knows how to play the game. And he's all about team, and that's just another great example of what it takes to be a Brewer here.
I agree. All right, one last one. This one's kind of off the wall. Then we'll get you on to your all-star break with this, Craig. I want you to name a player who's not on the active roster, who is injured, who is in the minor leagues, or maybe somebody who's on a different organization that you can predict to say will have the biggest impact on this team, not necessarily like of the entire team, but of somebody who is not on the current active roster, you think will have a big impact in the second half?
Well, that's a loaded one right there, my friend. All right. I'm gonna make this fairly easy for myself because I'm already in all-star break mode. I'm gonna go with D.L. Hall. I'm going to go with D.L. Hall, not on the roster here right now, obviously, but I think this guy It's going to be my prediction that he is not going to be used as a starter since we're well past the halfway point of the season, and he's hardly been in a Brewer uniform to prove what he can successfully do. But we know that he has been successful in the postseason a year ago, and that was one of the attractions of bringing him aboard here. With his versatility as being a starter or out of the bullpen. I think they're going to use him out of the bullpen, and I think he's going to serve, you know, multiple roles for this team, potentially as the spot starter, the opener, a guy that you can rely on, you know, being the bulk guy, or somebody at the back end, depending upon, you know, what happens with, you know, God forbid the injuries or whatever it might be, other guys underperforming down the stretch. So, I'll go with him, Dom.
I think the obvious answer would be Devin Williams. DL Hall's a great pick as well. I could sit here and talk about Devin, but I want to be spicy. I want to have a take here with this one. I don't normally do this, Craig, but given what I heard today from Matt Arnold, I'm going to throw one out there here for you here, Craig. I think a player who's going to have an impact on this team in the second half, Jacob Mizorowski. What he has been doing down in Double A, if you haven't noticed, you better notice. He's on over 35% strikeout rate now in Double A. His walk rate is down to 7% over his last five starts. He's starting to twist it, starting to get it going. I could see him in that Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta tweener role, kind of like what you're talking about with DL Hall. Because, man, imagine a two-headed monster if DL Hall starts the game. Bending curveballs, bending sliders, keeping you off balance. Maybe he goes 10 to 15 batters. Then Jacob Mizorowski coming in. Hey, here's 102 at your belt. Good luck. That could be really fun to see in the second half. The Devin Williams pick is the safe pick. Let's go get risky. Let's go get Jacob Mizorowski.
Well, that's something. Now, let me ask you this. Just because we're on the show here together, do you have indications that could really take place? Because I think earlier this year, the indications were he's going to stay down at this level and maybe not until absolutely needed. What's your take on that?
Well, Matt Arnold spoke to the media earlier today, and I said, look, you've seen a really good stretch of five starts, and it is just five starts. But he said, want to put him in bubble wrap right now because you love what he's doing. And there have been conversations about him joining the big league team in the second half. He confirmed it verbatim. So if he needs to continue on this stretch, I imagine it could be a very short time in AAA for him if the control is still there. He is not going to be here to be making starts going 6-7 innings. He is going to be here to get his feet wet, go 2-3-4 innings. I imagine there's an innings limit on him heading into this year, too. And I just don't lose sight of the fact that this farm is still in great shape. Him, Craig Yoho, Chad Patrick, joining the list of guys like Tobias Myers who have having great seasons kind of anonymously down in the Brewers minor leagues. It's pitching lab. It just keeps churning. It keeps churning. It's going to be a really fun second half because reinforcements are coming. Craig Kishon, you've been awesome help all season long. We got plenty more coverage from you all second half. Now get out of here. Enjoy your All-Star break. And thanks as always, my friend.
All right, thank you. Enjoy yours, and looking forward to rejoining baseball again next weekend, Dom.
This should be a lot of fun. Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. Matt, I see you on the phone line. I got to take a break. I'll get to you coming up on the other side of this. Brewers win 9-3 over the Nats on 620 WTMJ.
Now more Brewers Extra Innings presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Welcome back, Dom Catronio. Brewers get the victory. We're going for another 20 minutes here on the program. 9-3. They're in first place heading into the All-Star break. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all year long brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They're offering $10 off an AC tune-up or $10 off an HVAC, plumbing, or electrical service call. At Sider, your home comfort is top priority. Visit Sider.com today. SEIDER.com. All right, Matt, in Watertown, you've been waiting patiently. Want to talk a little bit of trade deadline. You're live on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, Dom. Thanks for taking my call. Just wondering, I've heard some rumblings about, you know, us maybe trying to make a deal for a midline starter like an Alek Manoah or a Yusei Kikuchi, but what do you think about us pushing all the chips in and maybe making a splash on a guy like Scherzer if the Rangers continue to fall and they look to dump some salary?
I think the Rangers, there are two things at hand with the Scherzer thought. Number one, the Rangers, or Scherzer has a no-trade clause, so he has to approve a trade first and foremost. Second, you got to remember, I love Max Scherzer, and I have said so on this program too. There is a red flag, and it is the lack of innings he has thrown, and the shoulder issues he's had over the last couple of years. It would also be yet another team ever since he got initially traded by the Nats to the Dodgers in 2021. Remember, he spent the first 2022 with the Mets, only made 23 starts that year. 2023 last year, he split between the Mets and the Rangers. Now he's only made 4 starts so far this season since going under the knife. So Max Scherzer, still an incredible player, incredible postseason performer. The Mets are already paying half his salary. So in theory, with more than half the season gone, the Rangers, if you're paying half of what the Rangers, it depends on what your prospect is, it would be a CC Sabathia-like move, not nearly the hole that you would get because he is not a pitcher in his prime. I don't see the Brewers making a move like that. If they're going to add a starting pitcher, not a guy like Max Scherzer, if there's going to be a rental, and one that is just the name that just keeps jumping in my face, and maybe this changed because the Tigers just had a good week against the Dodgers. How about Jack Flaherty? You know, we haven't really talked about Flaherty. I know he's a Cardinal. I know Brewers fans will get over that very quickly. But Southern California dude, he knows Yelly. He actually knows the Adonacio family a little bit as well. Flaherty is a guy who's having a great year with Detroit. He's on an expiring deal, just a one-year deal. Certainly can make that work. Now, Brewers fans may think, wait a minute, you traded Rhys Olson to the Tigers and got back Daniel Norris. That didn't work. Yeah, you're right. But this is a little bit different, I would hope, with the rental of Jack Flaherty. He's had a great season, 119 strikeouts, 95 innings pitched this season. But they win today. They beat the Dodgers, who have been scuffling as of late. Detroit, they're still 7 games out of a wild card spot, so I imagine they need to start thinking about selling. They are winners of 8 of their last 10, but for me, on the rental side of thing, I love Jack Flaherty. I don't think they're going to be able to make the splash as far as like a multi-year control guy, aside from Aaron Civale, who they already got. And Crochet's price is astronomical, one industry source told me. And another guy whose price is a lot higher than you'd expect is Chris Bassett. So maybe you say Kikuchi because he also would be a rental. For me, I'd take Flaherty over Kikuchi just for my personal take. But that is a good question there. Appreciate the call in there, Matt. Well, let's hear a little bit from Pat Murphy as the Brewers win today 9-3. Some other thoughts about the first half in this as well. Brewers win over the Nats. Here's the skipper.
What do we got?
I felt like we needed that one scale. Where was that win after the last couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, you need them all. You know, like you start thinking like that, like desperation or something like that. That's not good thinking. You gotta come back into the win tonight and get it done. And I didn't think we played a complete game by any stretch. You can say the guys are tired. They might be. And they know the break's coming. So you've been in baseball as long as I have. Whenever there's a definite break coming, you can see sometimes lapses. You know, I thought there was a lot of great effort today. A lot of great effort. Our pitching staff underrated today. Rob Z, Colin Ray. It's not easy when you're a starter to then come in after a opener. Colin's done it a couple times, but still not easy to get in the flow of the game. But after that, he settled down and pitched very well. Hobie Miller gave us a big inning, got a little bit unlucky with balls on the ground. But, and Piamps threw as good inning as he's thrown in quite some time. So, and the offense, if you looked at it, a lot of two-out runs and a lot of backside hitting. You know, you think about it, I think of our hits today, 10 balls came up the middle of the other way, 10 hard contacts, or more than 10 hard contacts, but 10 of our hits. And, you know, you include, like, even Mitchell's homer, you know, it's through the middle. Adamas's homer through the middle, you know, a little bit left center, but, you know, staying there and not getting around baseballs. Really, Yelich's double in the corner was the only pulled hit of the day. All the rest, you know, were in the middle of the field. And I think that's indicative of solid hitting. We once again got unlucky on some things, but that's part of baseball. You can't, like, say, oh, we're unlucky, so we lost. No, we're unlucky, so you overcome it. But a lot of good efforts today, a lot of good efforts.
We've asked you about this before, but just the two out runs, you mentioned it. You guys lead the major leagues again in that category. What do you attribute that to? Is that just guys bearing down in an important time?
Well, it is part of relentlessness, and it ain't over till it's over. You know, when you have two outs, you have 66. That means you have 33.3, I guess, to be exact. Opportunity. I mean, you still got a big sliver of the pie left, you know. So, and two out runs sometimes are just a, you know, you have two outs to advance the runners into scoring position. So, yeah, it's going to be part of our game. That's the way it is. I don't think we're offensively sharp. We scored 9 runs, but we weren't sharp. Adames was incredible, you know. It's great to see. Joey Ortiz came back, you know. Mitchell got that one out of the way. But again, I think it came down to, like, Rob Z giving us a great start, Code Red going 5 2/3, and then Milner and Piamps attacking the zone.
Yeah, quietly, that was really important for Piamps to get on track there. He's going to need a good second half. Hobie Milner, I see you texting here. What's the deal with Hobie Milner? He has the highest ERA in the bullpen. It's been a little bit of bad luck. In fact, Brew Crew Fanatic actually wrote a great piece about how much bad luck Hobie Milner has had, but at the same time, you know, bad luck isn't performance. It's going to lead to some uncomfortable decisions when it comes to what do you do with the bullpen. Up next, highlights will relive today. Brewers win 9-3 over the Nats on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, the finale of the first half. The Brewers and the Nationals. Washington looking for a sweep. Brewers trying to avoid their first 4-game losing streak of the year. They went with the opener. Rob Zastrzyzny got the ball. He retired the side in the top of the order on just 6 pitches. In the bottom of the first, the Brewers formed a 2-out rally with 2 strikes. Christian Yelich pulled a double down the right field line. Then Willy Adames battling for 8 pitches with 2 outs.
And the pitch. Hit to right center and deep. Warning track. It is going to be off the wall and bouncing over. Willy Adames reaching out and hitting a double to the gap in right center that bounced up and over. And the Brewers have the lead.
All right, Bob Uecker on the call there. Then Rob Zastrzyzny got one more out in the second. He was pulled. Colin Ray entered. He did allow 1 run in the top of the second inning, but he would settle down from there. In the bottom of the third, William Contreras, he's got his bags packed for Arlington. He's got another home run ball on the way.
1-0. Lifted to center. It's back. Young still chasing. Running out of room. It's gone. Just his 3rd home run since June 1st. And for William Contreras, he gives the Brewers a 2-1 lead.
He will be the National League All-Star starting catcher on Tuesday night with 11 home runs in his back pocket. So the Brewers take the lead after having the tied game. Then they really would hit the gas later on in the frame. A rally formed once again with 2 outs. And the birthday boy, Joey Ortiz.
Adames bouncing around at second base. Pitch to Ortiz. A line drive base hit to right. They'll send Adames. The ball gets by Thomas. Adames scores. Frelick scores. Ortiz is on his way to 3rd. He'll be held there.
What a moment there. All of a sudden, the Brewers lead 4-1. Jeff Levering on the call. Another pesky run there from the Nats, though. Juan Yepes had himself a good day in the 4th. But the Brewers avoided the shutdown inning from a key contributor from a couple of years ago.
2-0 to Mitchell. Fly ball deep center. Back is Young. Staring, watching, gone. Garrett Mitchell, his first home run this season. 6-2 Brewers on the blast by Garrett Mitchell.
Huge for him to get back on track. It's 6-2. Then the Brewers had things from here. It was their captain, Willy Adames.
Chance for a big inning for the Brewers. The pitch. Line drive to right. That's a base hit. They'll send Contreras around 3rd. The throw is going to go to 3rd. Yelich is there safe. It's 7-2. And Willy Adames is 3-for-3.
Oh, he wasn't done yet. How about 4-for-4?
Pitch to Willy. Fly ball deep left center. What a shot from Adames. Another one. A four-hit game for Willie Adames. And he caps a monster afternoon with a two-run blast.
Five times to the plate, he was not retired. And just for good measure, Bob Uecker with the final
2-2 out. 2-2 pitch coming. Here it is. That time he swung and missed. And this one is over. Yoel Piamps comes on to strike out the side. And the Brewers take the finale.
All right. Into the All-Star break in first place by 4.5 games. We'll get ready to sign off and send you on your way after this on WTMJ. I'm on top of the world. Hey. I've only got 30 seconds left to say goodbye here for the first half. Thank you to everybody who's tuned in. We're just getting started. So much to talk about the rest of the season. Enjoy the All-Star break. Tuesday night, you'll see William Contreras and Christian Yelich represent the Brewers. We're back on Saturday against the Twins. That's the next time you are going to hear from me. I am off the clock. Thanks to our producer, Evan Witalison. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.